Hey, what's up? This is Just Plain Nonsense.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Rob. And we have five people in here today. We have got Hey Girl. You guys know her. I'm gonna find out what your name is today.
Pablo.
Shut up. That's my phone talking to me. Okay. We'll get to you in a second. Every time I say Hey Girl, my phone thinks I say Hey Google. Yeah, there it is. Every single time. So I was editing an episode and I had to mute every time I said your name because my phone would just keep popping up. Okay. And then we've got Odge Podge over here. You guys remember her from the last episode. And Pablo, that's, I guess he's Arturo's twin brother. What was his name? What's your twin brother's name? Antonio?
Oh, Antonio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, duh.
Okay, so we are going to talk about, we kind of have some topics today. We're going to talk about this, like, being bullied, or being a bully, as I hear that you were.
That was Antonio.
That was your brother? Okay, yeah. I gotcha.
This one was the one that was bullied.
Okay, so yeah. Antonio bullied Pedro.
Pablo.
I was going to try to vote for you. No, it's real. It's hard. It's hard when they all look the same. Okay, so we're gonna talk about bullies, terrible bosses.
That was bullying.
Yeah. Exhibit A.
That was an example of bullying. Yeah.
So bully the race. Just don't do it.
And now I'm gonna get shot. Okay, so we're gonna talk about bullies. We're gonna talk about bad bosses, and then just some random banter that we're gonna have a little bit later. So, who has a good bullying story? Anybody have a story about like a time they were bullied, or you want to start talking about it? Who's going to take this off?
I don't think it's ever a good time.
Oh
if,
yeah,
if
no.
you're being bullied.
Yeah, no, that's I got bullied like pretty much my whole entire life, and it was I want to say I learned a lot from it, but I mean I didn't because I got picked on and it sucked and I need somebody else to like bring this up because I'm like getting ready to take it down.
I think it kind of depends on how you respond to the bully, because some people just don't do anything, and then some people hit the bully back.
Yeah, I've heard that whenever you do actually hit the bully back, then you guys become friends.
Did I ever discuss that on an episode?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, my David and Goliath story.
The one
where I sucker punched him.
And you got hit in the kidney?
No, that's a different story. You mix the two stories together.
Oh, that because that was a story I was thinking of.
No,
but that wasn't a bully.
No, really. That was, you're talking about my old friend Rob that we got in a fight over a girl, and he won, like, badly, ruptured my kidney. That was a fight, but then we became friends afterwards.
Right, so who's this David and Goliath one? I don't know if you've told that one.
I thought I did. It's when the guy that used to do the DDT, the wrestling move on me, and used to bully me in grade school, he held him back, like, three grades. So he was, like, an eighth grade, sixth grader, fifth grader.
I don't remember this.
I never told this story?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, maybe I should tell it.
Continue on. It's a good story.
Below if Michael's told this story before.
It's a good story.
So this is my David and Goliath story.
Oh, my gosh. Back away from that mic.
So this is my David and Goliath story.
Go ahead.
All right. So there I was, little bitty kid. Didn't hit my growth spurt yet. And there's this kid who will remain unnamed. So for the sake of the story, he's Goliath. Held back like several grades. He was a lot tougher than he was smart, that's for sure.
As most bullies are.
Yeah. And so he used to show up, you know, lunch, see me, and then he noticed that I'd look over in fear, and then he'd be like, oh yeah, then I could be empowered. He would go over and he would bully me, he would DDT me, which is an old wrestling move back in the day where they put you in a headlock and then drop on the ground and then yell, DDT, you know. So then he, one day, my old man gave me some advice. He's like, you got to stand up to your bullies.
And then you DDT'd him back.
Well, no, one time I tried, I hit him, but my hands were just so soft against his hard body. Freaking didn't do anything, so then he DDT'd me again. So time went on, and this little David, on the last day of school, saw an opportunity. The gates of heaven opened up and a miracle happened. It gave me a chance to restore my integrity.
Is this when
he was in the bathroom?
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
You did tell this story.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he was at the urinal, and I was like, here's my chance. And I won't see him because I heard he passed this time. So he was going on to junior high next year, middle school. So I ran up to him, and even though it wasn't technically a DDT, it just felt right. I ran up and yelled, DDT! Punched him right in the back of the head when he was peeing. He got pee all over himself and hit his face off the cinder concrete wall. And then before he could regain his bearings, I ran out.
Oh, my God.
And that's how I stood up to my bully.
And he never bullied you again?
No, he didn't.
Because he went on to the next grade.
Well, I saw him a few years later. And
then what happened?
He actually, I felt like his family life was so rough. And I guess the fact that I went and talked to him afterwards, he just didn't mess with me again. Because he knew that he'd have to pee again probably eventually. But I don't know, like we kind of just, we weren't friends, you know? But like, we got along. And plus I hit my growth spurt. So I grew like 6 inches.
Oh, he would have messed with you.
Yeah, so I was a little chunky Mikey boy over there. I was Michael.
Oh, so whenever you grew up, your name changed from Mikey to Michael?
Well, some of my family still calls me Mikey. Drives me nuts.
I call you Mikey every once in a while.
Yeah,
just because.
Yeah, Mikey's the kid who hasn't hit puberty yet that will eat anything.
Right.
Michael's like, I'm here to do stuff. You know?
Man, I've got some stories about like real bad bullying. Like when I would so this is, again, this is gonna be like Rob brings the podcast down. When I was 9 years old, my mom went in the hospital. I told this story a little while ago, or a couple episodes ago. But my dad was a single dad, so he never was like, you need to go take a shower, you need to go wash your clothes, you need to do this kind of stuff. So I would go to school with like clothes that were like not the cleanest probably. Mm-hmm. And I would sit in the back of the bus, and there were kids that were always like, you smell so bad, blah blah blah. So I was riding in the back of the bus, and I was always sleepy. So I'm sitting in the back of the bus, I got my head like against the window, and they're looking at me, and they like hold up these bottles of cologne. And I fall asleep, and I wake up a little bit later to the smell of cologne. They had poured both bottles on me. The whole entire thing's on me.
It's jacked up.
Yeah, that's so mean.
So there's that. I mean, I told... I've told the story about me getting... Like, I would stand up off the bus, and everybody would, like... Everybody had paper, and they would, like, crumpled it up and threw it at me when I hit the middle of the bus. Every single person on the bus.
So I guess my question is, like, when you were younger, did you not like confrontation then? Or because when I was younger, I also got bullied, but there was like a limit where I was like, I am like, it made me want to like literally punch people.
I guess that I don't know if it wasn't that I didn't like confrontation or if I was just like too easygoing that like,
yeah,
I'm not a fighter. Like I don't like causing harm to people. I don't like being violent or aggressive. I'm not competitive at all. Like, I don't play competitive games. If you're like, I'm gonna beat you, I'm like, I don't care. So I don't have that. I don't have that in me to fight for. I don't know what the deal is or why. But there were a couple times where I got angry and I got back at them. Like, one kid. Just for those of you guys who are listening, Michael just whipped out a bunch of like tiny little Play-Doh and he's handing it around to all the other podcasters.
We're still listening.
Yeah. No, I'm just talking to the people who are listening, like the listeners.
No, we're still listening. No.
Right. Okay, I got you. I lost my train of thought because I was, what was I talking about?
Non-confrontational. You're not a fighter. Someone wants to challenge you to a game. You're like, I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no, with me fighting back a little bit.
Yeah.
So there was one kid who, he was like a little scrawny, little nerdy kid, and I go to the bathroom, and this kid's like messing with me, and then as I try to leave the bathroom, he's like pushing on me and like hits me with his lunchbox and stuff, and I'm like, what is this kid doing? So I end up walking up the stairs, and he keeps hitting me over and over and over again, so I just grab him and I throw him on the ground.
Ooh.
And the teacher came out and stopped it, and then luckily he got in trouble, and I didn't because I was defending myself.
Yeah.
But man, I got so many stories that I can tell you guys about bullying.
It's pretty messed up that you have that many stories. Yeah. Kids are mean, man.
It's my whole life, man. Being the fat, smelly kid in school, it's like you're just a target, straight up target.
Kind of leads back to the parents, though. Like, it's like, what are you teaching your kids like in everyday situations? Like, are you just kind of like,
yeah, we're their parents, yeah, yeah.
You're talking about the bullies, like
yeah, the bullies and the parents.
I think, man, it's there's so many different things that could lead to people who are bullying.
Yeah, it could be like violent parents at home, or don't get attention, or because especially when you're little kids, you if you don't know how to communicate properly yet,
yeah,
you'll project act out. Like how you feel, because you don't know how to talk it out, because maybe at home your parents don't communicate with you, didn't teach you with your siblings.
Yeah,
maybe you were bullied, you know, and so like by an older sibling or by somebody else, and so you get older a few years later, now that's your sense of power, because you don't have the power at home or in your with your peers.
But what is the best way as a parent, what is the best way to handle that? Because there are some parents that are like, my kid's getting bullied, so I'm going to pull them out or put them in a different school, or I'm going to do something different. Or is the best way to be like, stand up to them? Because I wonder, like, where are all of the kids that stand up for other kids? Because I get that not everybody is a fighter, but if you are a fighter and you're not standing up for the kids that are getting bullied,
then
like, where are those kids? Because some kids have it in them. Like, I know I did when I was younger. I was feisty. Like,
I do now, man. I will destroy somebody if there's if there's bullying going on. I'll throw you through a window. I don't care.
Oh yeah.
The little kids are so fragile, though, man. Like,
they don't know better.
Yeah.
Michael did. He got jumped by a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Because he stood up for somebody who was getting bullied.
Yeah, I think I remember he told that story too.
But
it's weird because, like, when I was growing up, like, always a grade above or somebody who was bigger than me, because I was pretty small, and pudgy, and they would just decide to like pick on me for some reason. It was the same guy, like, from like second to fourth grade. And then there was another guy who was like fifth grade to seventh grade, you know, and there's always somebody.
That makes me wonder, like, what is it about like the bully-buller relationship? I don't know, the person who's getting bullied. Like, why does that person choose this person? Like, because everybody's got a bully. It's not like you're getting bullied by like a different guy every day. It's like there's one person that picks on you. Like, what is the correlation between those two people?
Yeah. They just want to feel superior, I guess, in some sort of way. But
why did that person, though, that bully, pick this person to bully?
Because they're the first person to submit, probably.
Could be.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't really do anything. Thing. Like, in return, like, I wasn't the type who would fight back or anything. But then as I got older, I realized that I could not physically do anything that could mess with their head.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the best way to get back at them, because then they're like, I don't know what's going on right now.
I feel like that's how a lot of girls, when they bully, it's different. It's not like a physical thing, and a lot of times it's not even to their face.
It's mental,
like,
and emotional.
Yeah, it's like behind their back, like manipulation type of bullying.
Yeah.
Like,
I know what you mean. Like, I was bullied in elementary school. I was like second or third grade, and my bulliers were actually sisters. Yeah.
Oh, dang.
So they...
Tag team bullying,
they were my friends, actually. They were my friends. This is they were my friends at first, and then
twins?
Yes, they're twins. And so, I invited them to my birthday party because they were my friends, and my grandma got me Winnie the Pooh underwear. It was like bright orange, bright yellow, and then literally the next day, they like went and ran. When we had recess and lunch. Our recess and lunch was like a big we had space to go, and every group, you know, like, they have their own thing,
their
going
little
on
clique, right.
Yeah, and so they went to every group and every clique, like the playground, the sand where the sand area is, and the dodgeball wall. They went to every group running to them and like saying, Audrey has Winnie the Pooh underwear. And literally like each group, and I was like, I just remember like running behind them, and I was like, no, I don't, no, I don't. Like, I went to each group, and I was like, I don't have it, I don't. And then like I was crying, and then I told
my. But you weren't even wearing it, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. I didn't want to wear it, obviously. But I told my mom about it, and she was angry, furious, obviously.
Was she mad at you?
No, at the, you know, my. Bullies. And so my mom actually confronted their mom, and their mom was like, no, they wouldn't do that. They would not do that. Like, I don't. And so, like, it's just like, what do you do then? Like,
it's, yeah, I don't know what you can do from there, because
it all comes back to parenting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, because I had an opposite experience of that, like with where this little boy was like, he was bullying me and my mom.
Hold on, he was bullying you and your mom?
Yes.
Oh, I thought
he
you
was
were
hardcore. No, it wasn't.
I just like picking
it
out.
It got to the point where mom would pick me up in the back. She's so scared.
I like picking out some of the stuff that you say, because then it
just. Amish snowman. I like that. Oh, sorry. Anyway. So, we should show off our Play-Doh designs at the end of the episode.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll get like some shots of them.
So, no, she followed the boy home. I'm in the car with my mom after school. And I was like, that's him. She's like, okay. She starts falling. I'm like, no, mom, don't. And I'm like sliding down the seat. And she follows him home with this kid. And when he goes inside, my mom knocks on the door, and she goes, when the mother answered the door, she's like, your son has been bullying my son, you know, explain to her what happened. And that mom actually handled it well, I guess, because she goes, I won't say his name. I don't think I remember. I think maybe, I don't know. But anyway, she goes, get your butt down here right now! And she, like, whipped that kid in front of me.
That's awesome.
And that kid never bullied me again. And then, afterwards, I was like, Mom! She's like, that's
oh my
how you
goodness.
Handle that.
Wow.
Yeah. Justice.
Awesome. So it was a mom effort.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool that mom, like, just so he would feel my humiliation, that boy's mom spanked him right in front of me.
That's awesome.
That's the way to do it as a parent. Like, you have to approach parents and, like, deliver the message.
Yeah, parents working together instead of, like, no, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, it makes me angry when parents, like you were, was it you were saying like the they stand up? No, it was you saying that the parents were like, oh no, they didn't do it.
Them, they
oh,
would
it makes
never
me so
do
mad.
That.
Yeah. It's like they're blind it's and like, oblivious to their own child.
Yeah, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, their kids at them in jail like 15 years from that point.
Right. Like, he could do, he can do no wrong.
Yeah, and then they recall. Kids do no wrong. Right.
That makes me so mad.
Which reminds me, he made an Amish snowman. Mm-hmm.
What'd you make?
I made a chicken.
Oh, I thought it was a dinosaur.
It's a dino chicken. Right. Okay. So I was like, that's a T-Rex. But I was like, but it was supposed to be a chicken.
Like the head looks like a dinosaur.
Tyrannosaurus chicken.
Okay.
Like it?
To display your art.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's
put next to the Amish snowman.
Call it a T-Rex skin.
T-Rex skin, yeah. I like that.
Oh, so. From... Well, remember the one from... have you guys seen Jurassic World?
Which one?
The first one? With Indominus Rex? Or what's it called?
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. The white one?
Yeah. Oh, wait. The white? There's a white T-Rex?
Well, it looks kind of white.
I mean, I've seen it. The first... Because, you know, there's Jurassic World and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah. I think it's the first one.
Okay.
Where they... Point is, he's white. it looks like that.
This
white
episode, one
stands.
This episode is going to be the racism episode.
Oh my god!
It wasn't supposed to be like that, but
bullying happens like when you're an adult too. It's just it's just we handle it differently as adults.
Yeah.
We're just more equipped to deal with it. Well, some adults actually don't handle it very well, and they cause an even bigger issue. But I think for the majority of mature adults, they are more equipped to handle it as they're older.
Yeah, you see bullying a lot more with bosses.
Yeah, in work environments.
Yeah, like I had a.
Because that authority gets to him.
Well, I had this little guy, and he'll know who he is if he watches this. But for some reason, whenever the manager's shirt came on, he forgot that he was like 5'2". And he had that high-pitched voice. You ever seen that movie where, I can't remember the movie, so I can reference it. But anyway, this dude had a real high-pitched voice. So we were in a factory setting, and... he would just go around me and like looking at people being like, you need to work faster. You really do.
Oh
you know?
God.
Try to make a clip.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
You need to calm down right now. Stand production. You're going slow. You know,
that was straight up Mickey Mouse. Yeah, so
you better pick it up. We'll kick your face in.
You can do a good one. Do it.
Nope.
Come on.
You did a good one.
Let's bully her. Let's bully her into it.
Come on.
Feeling peer pressure.
So, but one day, I don't know if I ever told you the tale of Really Real.
I know about Really Real.
Well, a lot of times you hear me say, oh, I'm Really Real. That's actually like an inside thing that I turned into my own like personal slang, but there's this guy that used to work at the same factory. It ties into the boss. And
You're actually good when you sit back.
Okay. So his nickname was Really Real. He was from Chicago, and he'd always, like, his signature thing was after he'd do something, he'd be like, "Oh, the Really Real!" You know?
I remember you saying that.
Yeah. And so that's where I got it from, because I thought
that's
it
was, funny.
You know, kind of catchy. So, anyway, he and I got along real well, you know?
Really, real well.
Like, really, real well.
Good.
And then,
thank you.
But another thing we had in common, other than me and him would drop some sweet rap beats in the behind the products.
I was wondering where that was going.
Yeah, I didn't want to say the actual. So, anyway, one day we were back to joke around, and that particular manager, almost said his name, came up and goes, "You're not supposed to be standing around. You had your break." You know?
Was he the Wicked Witch of the West or something? Like, what is happening here?
His voice keeps changing. "You better cut it out."
Oh, my goodness.
And he's like, "Oh, right, shut up." And Really Real lost. I guess he was having a day where his thug level was way up here. You know what I mean?
He's having a really real bad day.
Yeah, it was a really real bad day. Dang, I like how he's catching those. So anyway,
that was so good.
He got in his face, which means he had to squat down a little bit. And he goes, "You ever talk to me like that again, I'm going to shove you in this thing and then drive you down the belt." And he goes, and he goes, "That's a threat." He goes, "You're not going to make it to the boss if you talk to me like that again, you know, because that." And I guess he called the cops, the manager did, and what I'm talking about, and then got arrested. And I'm like,
Really Real guy?
Yeah, on his way out, he goes, "I'm a Really Real," you know. And I was like, dang, you know.
That's my bro.
That's my boy.
Hashtag thug life.
He's my peeps.
I was like, but anyway, I don't think he was off probation or whatever, so that might have sucked. But anyway, he was a good dude, you know, just misunderstood.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. So anyway, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask, like, what qualities, like, what traits make a bad boss? Like, a micromanager?
Well, that's what he would do. He'd follow you around like a little yipping chihuahua and just, like, speed it up.
Micromanaging, I think, is actually one of the worst ways to get production. Like,
are you a micromanager?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's a macro.
How
manager.
Do you know that?
Just kidding. I will defend my point after Rob speaks.
Well, I was just going to say that micromanaging, I think, is the worst way to get production going, because people, they hate being micromanaged. They hate when you, like, they don't want you to tell them how to do their job, because they've been doing it long enough. They know how to do it.
And you know, that's the difference between motivation and inspiration. Inspiration is something internal. It's like, you know, and you tear down inspiration when you have too much negative motivation. For external, you're like fear or whatever, you know, because you can have good motivation, but it's very short lived. So whenever they're not inspired to want to do it because you're not treating them the right way, it's.
Right. And what's funny, though, about to continue with my point, the most bosses don't even know how to do the job themselves. Like, they're trying to tell you how to do a job that they don't know how to do themselves. And I think that's one of the main problems with micromanaging.
Yeah, and I've had good bosses too, but you were going to say something, weren't you?
Oh, well, I mean,
he was going to defend his point that he's not a micromanager.
Well, basically, micromanaging, it has to happen sometimes.
Yes.
When the right person isn't hired for the right job.
Okay.
So they're performing their job, but the little details add up. And it becomes a big issue.
That's fair.
Right. Well, I think we're talking about the type of micromanaging where they're telling somebody who already knows how to do it, how to do it, but they don't know how to do it
themselves.
But
he's given the good applications where there's certain points where you have to hit the micro topics and examine them.
Yeah, and that should be covered in training, I think. And that could be considered training, micromanaging.
But certain things only come out
if they are trained
like when they're actually doing the job.
Right. Okay, so, I gotcha. Like in the really real setting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, back to your old boss, is that he has like more of like a Napoleon complex type of thing.
I think that's exactly it.
So then some people just like love the power, or some people are feel like they need to project their power in order to compensate for other things.
Yeah, yep. I don't understand that at all, because Michael asked me one time on one of these podcasts, he's like, "If you could rule a country, which one would you rule?" And I was like, I don't know. I don't want to rule a country. I've never wanted
that. No, that wasn't it. It was
something along those lines.
The whole point of that, which I don't think we're going to drop that episode, but like, well, we'll talk about it later.
No, this was a long time ago.
Oh, was it? I thought it was one of those things to drop. But the idea, the premise of it was, what would people do with power? So I'd ask you, what would you do with unlimited money? What would you do with authority?
No.
It was more like if you wanted it.
That's not what I'm talking about at all.
But it was like what? Oh, okay. Maybe I'm missing. Think of something different.
Yeah, this was a long time ago.
Because it's good to see what some people are completely different once they get power. So I want to like see what people would do if they had that power, because some people like,
I don't know, I kind of disagree with that. I think that you're just like that, but on a lower scale. But when you have power, it just magnifies who you actually are.
I think that that can be true in some cases, but I think there's certain things that can only be shown with, there's only certain types of power that only be had once you get it. Like, oh, like being in charge of people, right? Or, you know, there's certain things that you may never have the chance to, so you, you overact, and then you become something else because you've actually never experienced anything like it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of...
And there are times, too, when I think you can get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And then, you know how people are, like, when they get overwhelmed and nervous, they talk a lot?
Yeah.
So, the, like, some people in that position, when they've never had it before, they could probably be a little overbearing because they're like, I need to tell these people what to do. I'm their boss. I have to make sure they know what to do. I got to get this guy going. I got to make sure this is going. So they're all in everybody's business micromanaging and not really knowing.
Whereas they've never had that before. And now they're like...
So they're inexperienced. Yeah. So that could be one part of it.
I've also had a boss that, going on the complete other end of that, I've had a boss that was too laid back. Mm-hmm. I'm the type of person where like I respond to strong leadership.
Yeah.
Like I like a boss that is on top of things. I like it stuff to be orderly. There needs to be some sort of structure. I like a boss that casts vision, direction. Mm-hmm. I don't like to be micromanaged, but I like to see the big picture of what the goals are. I want a leader. Yeah. And I've had a boss where it's like none of that was there. It was literally like, okay, like you got this. Okay, like bye. Yeah. And there was no follow up with anything. None of that. Like I think to me that that's worse because they're not even engaged.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're, like they're fine with the status quo. They're just like let it be, and then well that's fine.
Yeah, and like that type of person doesn't motivate you. Like at least if
they don't
if,
have a passion for their job.
Yes,
exactly.
Like, personally, like this is my own personal opinion. If I had a boss that micromanaged, it would at least motivate me to like get out of that like situation. I could promote and get out of that, or I could figure out a way to make it better. But if I had a boss that wasn't even engaged, it's like, it's kind of like you don't even see a future like there at all.
Yeah.
Like you're not really motivated. You're just coming in, doing your thing and leaving. It's just, I don't know.
You know, one thing, and I can add to that, is that just like when you have kids, each kid you have to handle differently.
Oh, right.
So I think that a good manager knows what to apply to each person.
Okay. Yes.
Because I've been a follower, I've been a leader, depending on different things in life. And I've noticed that what works for one, just like with raising kids, will not at all work for the other one. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that if you're a good manager, a good boss, it's relational. Like you develop, you get to know each person and you know what works for them and what doesn't.
I totally agree.
Yeah, you were just reminding me of like one of those ladies like at church where the preacher's like,
yes.
And today we're going to save the people. And you're like, yes.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, Pastor.
Yes, Pastor, preach.
So that was just cracking me up because every time you're like, yes.
Yes. That's what I thought of. Sorry, I just got into what he was saying.
No, it's good.
Because I totally agree with it. Like, I strongly believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, trying to keep it going without, like, that lull, you know?
Oh, well, there's also, okay, here's the thing that came out recently, and I've attended a few of these conferences, but I think leadership conferences are needed for people who are in leadership, like anybody in management, because I think there are so many bad bosses and so many bad managers, and it's not necessarily that they don't like their job, some of them don't, but it's that they lack leadership skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really something that's taught. They may know how to do the job. The difference is, do you know how to inspire people? It's a completely different job than what you're actually doing.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, have you heard of the E-Myth?
Mm-mm.
It's like somebody who, I'll use myself as an example. I'm a graphic designer, right? Mm-hmm. So I can make logos and I can make animations and I can make designs and stuff. But that doesn't mean that I should start a graphic design business.
Right.
Because you have to know how to run a business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think that's the same thing is where, a lot of people will start a business and they know their trade really well. Mm-hmm. They have no idea how to run a business.
Yeah.
So you've got somebody who, you see this a lot in fast food, where you have somebody who's good at their job, they get promoted to manager, they have no idea how to lead people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why a lot of times, especially in fast food, you see high turnover rates and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes me to my next point, which would be people, I agree with this, I saw this somewhere, people don't quit jobs, they quit bosses. And it's not all the time, but that's a very good example of it. Because there are times when I've left jobs because I'm like, I can't stand this boss anymore.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think the age of the manager or the boss has a lot to do with it too.
Right.
Because, I mean, my parents, mainly on my mom's side, they're pretty hardcore. And, like, they put me to work, like, pretty young. Like, not work officially, like, at a job, but at least do very, like, manual labor at home. And then, so that's just what I'm used to. And then when I first started my job, you know, I was just like, let's get it done. Let's keep on going. So with that being said, the older generation is definitely more like hands on. Let's take care of this. And I'm not trying to like talk down on anybody because it's definitely my generation. And
right.
You know, sometimes I'm like that too. But
well, these are your opinions, man. That's like however you feel. Like but everybody's got the right to their own opinion.
Like the younger generation is definitely more like less hands-on, more technical. You know, it's like the millennials, what people know as the millennials, and what's Generation Z.
Something one of the letters of the alphabet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And it's going to start back over at A eventually.
And then it's just there's like a bunch of ways to manage the older generation that don't work on the younger generation.
Yeah, because some of them, they take getting yelled at and like that kind of like strong drive. But if you yell at like one of these younger kids, they're like, "Man, get out of my face!" Like they got an attitude, and they're like, "I ain't gonna stand for that."
That or they're oversensitive because they have that mom that whenever they were confronted with bullying and said, "My kid wouldn't do that."
Right.
So people don't really bring down the rod of correction, but also the whole like kindness. They don't usually have parents that are like sticklers, or they're just my kids can't do no wrong.
Right.
Yeah. You gotta have that balance of knowing when to be hardcore and when to also be sensitive and show.
Exactly. Right. I'm the kind of guy that's like if you talk down to me or yell at me, I'm like we're gonna fight. Like that's disrespectful and I don't appreciate it.
We're gonna make out. You're turning me on. No, that's him.
I'd rather be talked down to and like be straight up. I want my manager to be straight up. Cause then,
yeah, no, being straight up is like, yeah, I get it. But being talked down to, where they're like
degrading.
Yeah, it's telling me it's not necessarily telling me I'm stupid, but like insinuating that or something like that, or
being condescending.
Yeah, explaining something to me that I know, but they just want to say it because they, like, I maybe messed something up or whatever.
Yeah, some people are just really, really bad at communicating, and so like, you know, like I had a guy that was like, he tells me all the time, like, you're a retard, you know, but. I don't really think you're smart enough to call me a retard. Like, but they don't know how to actually explain where you went wrong and help you out. They're just like, they're just like, you're a retard.
That is an excellent point. I feel like if you're going to criticize somebody, have something to tell them that they can do better.
Have something intelligent to say than calling someone a retard.
Yeah. It's like, I love when people look at my work and then they tell me, like, I do graphic design, video production, all that kind of stuff. I love it when people look at it and they're like, all right, this is good, but this can be done better. And I'm like, absolutely. I love that. I love the criticism and the
constructive criticism.
Yeah. And I like to be like, I want my stuff to be better.
Yeah.
You get that by showing it to different people and seeing what other people's opinions are.
Yeah.
Got a sandwich comments. Like,
there's
a good.
Good, and then what you can you do better, this, and then good again.
But let's cushion it and let's say something else good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I learned about that from something. I don't remember what it was, and I started doing it, and I was like, man, this feels good.
Yeah.
It works, I think.
Yeah. Well, when you have a tact, you know, tactfulness to it, when you think about what you say, it's going to come out a lot better than just emotionally being like, this makes me angry. What do I say? I don't have to go through explain the whole thing, so I'll just say, you're retarded.
Right.
You know, or I don't like it.
And that's why.
And
that's why the Bible says be slow to anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have a choice. You're getting mad is not a choice. That just happens. It's a chemical reaction. How you handle it is the choice. So it's like, if you get mad, you need to take some time and be like, okay, I'm gonna recognize that I'm mad. I'm not gonna say something stupid. So let me organize my thoughts for a minute. Sometimes you gotta walk away. You're just like, I need some time to coordinate what I'm gonna say so that I don't say something bad or that I'm gonna regret.
Yeah. I think it also depends to your method of communication. Like at my job, we do a lot of emails. Like most of my time is spent on a computer. So sometimes when I feedback, because part of my job is feedbacking people or giving them like learning opportunities. And when I'm in person and I'm speaking to someone, my tone and everything, it reflects very kind and very gentle.
Mm-hmm.
But my verbiage that I use is very direct. And so it turns out to be a really positive experience because the way that I'm communicating it.
It's but clear.
But when I do emails, people think I'm a total jerk. Like, I've gotten that so much.
You don't have tone in it.
Because I don't have, I don't fluff it. Like, I don't fluff my verbiage.
It's just direct.
It's very direct. But I'm not, but I'm like, but if you met me in person, I'm not a jerk.
I'm so
just,
sweet.
I'm just a very, like, A to B, like, person. I don't fluff things. I'm not flowery and rainbowy on emails. I'm just like, these are the facts.
I've learned to do that in text, like, where I do add the fluff to mine sometimes, where I'm like, all right, how do I say this? I need to be direct, but I need to say it. I need to say it clearly, but I also need to convey that I'm not, like, mad or upset or whatever. So I, like, run it through my head, and I imagine actually saying it out loud of what it would actually sound like.
Yeah, because if you don't already know their mood, something could come off. Like if we're having a conversation that's playful, and I put K, it's like, oh, yeah. It's like K. But if you don't know the context, and I just put K, it's like, oh, wow, you're being short with me? Like, man, they must be
so
bad.
Yeah. Key and Peele did this exact sketch. Where they were writing back and forth text messages. And
You showed me that.
So, I don't know. That's true, though. If I can put emojis in emails, I'd be so much of a nicer person.
I put emojis in everything.
Me too.
You can fluff it by saying, like, I hope this helps. Or, like, LOL. You know, like, thank you. Yeah. Like, you know, or,
I hope this helps.
Like, oh, you're saying I need help now?
No. I just think certain things shouldn't be communicated via, like, email. So I went to this leadership conference through email.
It was through Facebook.
That's worse.
Do you want me to tell you a story, or do you want to finish?
No, go ahead, yeah.
Okay, I didn't want to take away from your story.
No, you're good.
Okay, so this girl that I was dating, my only girlfriend that I've had in my life, I broke up with her. Because whenever she had an issue at work and she was having a problem, and so she went to her ex instead of me, and this had been building up for a while, so I was like, all right, I gotta end it. I can't, because I found out that she was living with him for 4 days before I found out about it. So I was
she deserves,
like,
an email breakup then.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was like, all right, so I sent her a text, and it was like real early in the morning, and I was like, hey, I need you to call me as soon as you get this. And it was like a couple hours later. Obviously, she wasn't awake yet, and I was like, I can't wait. So I just sat down and wrote it out. This really long email about how I'm like, we've been together for 2 years. I offered to help you find a place to live around here, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I was like, this was what I think was the piece de resistance of the email, of the message, if you will. I said, if what you did when you ran to him is what I can expect in this relationship, I don't want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mic drop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so is that was my
mouse drop.
Yeah,
because it
keyboard drop.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that was my breakup story. With my relationship.
She deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you cheat, you lose the courteousness.
Amen, sister.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Agreed.
So you just send her a poop emoji and be like, "We're done." That's all she gets.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. This
That'd be
you.
So weird. Can you imagine just getting that message from somebody, just like you're dating them, and they're just like, we're done with a poop emoji. Like,
we're done pooping?
Seriously? Right.
Why is there a poop emoji?
L.
Are we done poop? Wait.
Sounds like a middle school relationship.
What's going
right.
on?
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Definitely.
So, relationships.
Relationships.
Let's do it.
that was
we'll
my.
Let them take this one because we're married.
Yeah, you're like, I ain't gonna tell about my relationship, even though you've already talked about several.
Yeah, I mean, I did a whole episode on relationships. So.
Right. Yeah, I don't. That was my only relationship that I've had. So
and
I don't
people
have
already
any more
know
stories.
About us, so you guys can.
Yeah, you, I mean,
we can talk about previous ones.
You have only said yes pretty much this whole episode, so.
Yeah, because they were saying everything that I was thinking, so I didn't need to
I'm
say
just trying
anything.
To give you an opportunity to, like, tell us a story.
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
It's hard to ask somebody who's in a relationship to talk about a previous relationship.
I mean, it's not. I mean, I've told I've told him everything on my previous relationship, so he knows everything. It's not a big deal. I'm just trying to think. Like,
well,
what's interesting? What's kind of interesting?
Got kicked out of the car. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians
of the Galaxy,
okay, so
that's a good intro.
So Disneyland,
happiest place on earth.
Happiest place on earth.
Tell this.
I don't know. Okay, if you know, there's a ride called Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's a ride that goes, like, literally you go up, and then you go down, and then you go up, all the way up, and then down. Just up and down.
Sounds like all the rides.
Wait, it used to be the Tower of Terror.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, anyway, so I'm going to start with this, because this is what led me to not like that ride. You brought me when I was seven?
I think, yeah, you're seven.
Seven? So these two are sisters, by the way. Oh, yeah. If we haven't clarified that.
If we don't look alike.
Okay. Skylar sisters.
The Skylar sisters.
Me and him are sisters.
I forced her on the ride. I think she was probably like 7 or 8.
How about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, sure, because I was like, I don't know what this ride is. And I went on it with you because no one went on it with
nobody,
us.
No, I don't think anybody wanted to go. And I think that's why I made you.
Yeah. On it. So I was like, sure, 7 or 8. And I went on it. And the whole time I was crying.
She's crying so
crying.
Hard.
And I just...
You broke it up with your sister?
It literally, like, scarred me. Like, I got off that ride saying, I will never ride this ride ever again.
Yeah.
Well, I was 7 or 8, whatever. How old am I? 20? I'm 19 years old now, and I'm in a relationship, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try this ride, because I'm 19 years old, and I think I'll like it. Like, I'm all grown up now. And I went on it. I went on it. And, like, this was, like, the beginning of our relationship, so I was just, like, I was really holding in, like we weren't even official yet, but I was holding in my, like, my scaredness. Like, I was literally, like, after the ride, I was gonna throw up and I was gonna cry, but I was, like, okay, after that, I was, like, I'm sorry, but I can't ride this ride, and I told him my story with my sister, and he was, like, this is my favorite ride.
Oh,
like,
no.
What? Like, no, this is my favorite ride. And I was, like, yeah, no, I'm not ever going on this ride again, just letting you know. And we have a pass to Disneyland, so we go, like, every month. And literally, the next time we went to Disneyland, he was like, okay, we're going on Guardians. And I was like, no, like, I told you, I can't go on the ride. I physically, like, I feel like I'm going to die. Like, no, I'm not going on the ride. And he was like, I'm, like, literally, if you don't go on this ride, like, I'm going to break up with you.
What?
And I was like, hey, I literally was like,
he's got standards, okay?
I was like, my heart was beating. I was in line of Guardians. I was crying. I was like, I don't want to go on this ride. And like, I FaceTimed my friend, and it was crying to her. I was like, he's making me go on this ride. Like, I don't want to go. And like, I was crying to her. She was like, give him the phone. Like, and like, he was just like, she was mad. She's like, how dare him do this? And I was just like crying to her. And I literally, like, after the ride, I'm surprised I didn't break up with him after that, because I was literally crying the whole time.
Yeah, that would have been a good time.
Yeah, literally. And I was just crying the whole time. And I was just like, and I literally, like, we separate ways, and like,
awkward.
I was really, like,
so did you upset. Not break up with him at that time, or did you do it later?
I did it later.
Like, way so, later.
Yeah.
All right, Michael, let's just blow those ears in.
Way later.
So.
But, I mean, yeah, he knows everything. So it's, like, not.
So was it, like, months later?
Yeah.
Okay. So, no. I'm not trying to, like, stir anything up.
He knows everything. So.
Right. So, that brings up something, like, why people stay in relationships with people that they're not happy with. I was going to say.
Slow transition. Sometimes the
change.
Yeah. A lot of it is
change. Yeah.
Because you can be in relationships with people that you don't really care for anymore, but, like, the transition sometimes of breaking up with somebody is, like,
it's slow.
Yeah, you have to think about it, and then time goes on, and then you're like, oh, but the magic's not there, you know? It's just like, it's...
I never had that problem.
But, like, yeah, I always...
It's comfortable.
Yeah, it's more of a comfort
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and that was the point that I was going to get at, was that it's like, you're comfortable, and you're like, this is what I know.
Yeah.
I don't want to try to go into something new, and have to learn this person now. So I'd rather live with this person that I'm like, okay, not super happy with, but they're all right. Whereas I go with this other person who could possibly make, like, I could be happy with, but, like, I'll have to learn. It's all new.
In the beginning. Sorry, go ahead.
I think it also goes into, you have to consider effort.
Mm-hmm.
The investment.
Because how is that, I mean, if you apply that rule to everybody, how does that actually train you for marriage? So, I think it depends on how.
And that's what dating is, kids.
Yes, it's training mm-hmm. you for marriage, if you didn't know. So if Seriously. You're sitting next to your significant other, but you can't see yourself ever marrying that person, yeah. just break up now.
Right now.
And that's the problem. That was the problem with the guys. Yeah.
Through email.
I mean, it just depends, like, if that happens. Like, send
him an email, sitting right next to him.
It's not the fact that that happened that was terrible. It's the fact that what happened after. The fact that he didn't, like, feel bad after seeing how you reacted and try to put effort in saying, like, you know what, that was wrong. Like, mm-hmm. that didn't happen. So, I don't know. I feel like people do messed up stuff all the time in relationships, but it's putting that effort into being selfless and trying to consider that other person.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, real quick, can you lean over into your mic whenever you talk a little bit? Like, next time?
Me?
Yeah, lean over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is mentality, because certain things sound good on the surface, but they don't really breed a mentality of two people trying to work together. Like, this one might ruffle some feathers, but, like, I heard a...
All right, get your chickens out, everybody.
But I heard a woman say that she's like, I'm a strong, independent woman, right? Mm. And to me, like...
Was it Beyonce?
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, right? If you're a single mom, or if you're single, that's great. If you're in a relationship, that's a first sign that you're dealing with somebody who's all about themselves. When you're in a relationship, and I'll explain, that makes sense. When you're in a relationship, you're not an independent anything. You're a team. And, like, your goal as the guy or the girl or whoever the other person is in the relationship, on either side of it, whether you're batting or swinging, man, like, you're the one causing the problem or you're the one dealing with it. In the relationship, when you go through those seasons, your job is to be there for that person.
Right.
And that person, mm-hmm. and if not, it's never going to work. The whole independence mindset sounds good, but it's garbage.
Yeah.
Like, the reality is that I have to put everything on the line if you're worth it. If not, I need to be in a relationship. Like, her and I, there's no independence. You know, we're a team. Well, do you not agree?
What? No, I'm a strong, independent woman. No, I'm just kidding. No, I agree with you.
Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. Like, if you're going to be in a team setting, like a relationship, uh-huh. you know, like, even in a friendship, if you take that aspect of it, you realize how ridiculous it would sound for me to be like, I'm an independent bro. Well, no, if I'm your bro, I'm your bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm here for you,
yeah.
and you're here for me. And then when you work towards each other's needs, it's actually, it brings forth the point of having a relationship is that because you're leaning on each other. And if you can't lean on each other, you need a new relationship.
Right.
You know? But a lot of this modern mentality of empowering through victimhood, or somebody being their own version of this, or getting through things in that way, it's not, I don't see it being healthy. You know?
Yeah.
So I wanted to face that off, because that's a thing I hear a lot, and I think it sounds good, but it's garbage if in a relationship, you know?
Absolutely.
It's garbage.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
That was deep.
For the French listeners
I'm glad you translated garbage. That.
Yeah.
That was just my thought. I thought I need to throw that in there, because individual mindsets going into a relationship are a big factor. Like, that guy was in for himself.
Yeah.
And how you made him feel. Just like somebody in an abusive relationship. They don't care for the person they're abusing. They care for how that person makes them feel. It's a false sense of
right.
love. False sense of connection. And that's what it was with that guy.
Yeah.
You know? There was something that my dad told me, and it made a lot of sense. Whenever you're in a relationship with somebody, you most people say you give 50%. Each person gives 50% to make 100%. And I'm like, that's not right. Or that's what my dad told me. He said, each person gives 100%. Mm-hmm. And then if at some point one of them can't give 100%, say they're giving 80%, you give 120% to make up for that so that there's still 200% in the middle. And then eventually they'll come back and get it back. But if you keep having to give 120, 150, 180%, you're going to get worn out. You're going to get torn down, or whatever that word is I'm looking for. But you that's how it works. It's each of you gives 100%, not 50%. And then, just to summarize, if somebody can't give all of their 100%, you make up for it for a while, and then they come back.
Yeah, and I love that. Because it's not really the numbers itself. It's more painting the picture of, like, when someone's at their less, you be more.
Right.
You be mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Right. You, like that. You fill that little void that they can't at that time.
On the really real.
Yeah.
One of the things I've seen... is there's two flowers or two trees or whatever, they're in a pot. So there's two pots. And then one of them has, like, an arm extended with, like, what's it called? It was like watering the other flower.
Yeah.
Or the other pot. And then same thing with the other pot. It had an arm extended and it was watering the other pot. So each one was watering each other, and that's what a relationship is. It's, you know, like, I'm here to take care of you and you're here to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's then really together we're gonna we're going to get through it.
I like that. I like two things that they need.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're both helping each other grow. Yeah.
Exactly.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
But sometimes you try to hook up with a poison ivy plant, and, you know, it doesn't really bear good fruit, you know?
So you can learn something from
seriously.
Batman.
Make sure you're with the right plant.
True.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you're with the right plant. All right, you guys, we are at 50 and a half minutes. We're almost at an hour.
Oh, okay.
Anybody else got any other stories?
Yay.
Has anybody been a bully? You're about to say something.
Yeah.
You've been a bully?
Well, okay, yeah. So when I was in high school, I was a cheerleader. And?
Ready? Okay.
Okay. I think that we all bullied each other, but this is how bad it got. There was a...
Like all the cheerleaders bullied each other?
Yeah. Like it was like varsity versus JV. And it was... It all started when one of my friends, well, this guy was cheating on his girlfriend who was a varsity cheerleader with one of my friends. And that's how it all kicked off. But it got so bad to the point where we were like, well, my friend got her car keyed. I was getting my house egged every weekend.
I remember.
Hey, that's free eggs, bro.
I remember.
No, it's not just my house. We had a swimming pool. And we kept getting eggs thrown in there. And my dad is like, okay, you realize we have to drain the pool every time an egg gets thrown in there. So we were draining the pool. And it was an in-ground pool, so it's huge. That is expensive to keep filling.
Yeah, hundreds of gallons.
So my dad put, like, cameras in the front. He would sit, like, at the front of our driveway and just wait. But in turn, we did equally horrible things. Like, we would go out and, like, TP and egg and shaving cream, and it was just, it's so bad. Their thing went to court. Like, they even had like an order protection between my friend and then that other
girl.
Wow. It just got so bad. And yeah, and I don't want to say that I was just the bull, like, it was a mutual thing.
Right.
We all just bullied each other, but it was exhausting, and we were just so mean to each other. And now that I'm just like, it's like that movie Mean Girls, like, that happens in real life. I've seen it, but it just not, maybe not as extreme. But it happens.
It's crazy now, to think that happened back then, because when I was in high school, like, that was, none of that was happening.
Well, you had a different, like, high school experience because you did show choir.
Yeah.
It was a different, like, I was a
goody two-shoe, too.
Not as cutthroat. It's like Glee. No, I mean, never mind. So, yeah, Glee was pretty cutthroat.
I mean, there were still bullies, but not as bad. Like, egging a house.
Cheerleaders are sassy. I remember when even baseball players, we had I think it was the window, like, shattered or something. Someone threw a baseball through the second story of our, I think it was my bedroom window, but it went through the netting and everything, and that's how we knew. We're like, oh my gosh, it's somebody on the baseball team. Because it was just too good of a hit.
Yeah, it reached my window.
And then my
second floor window, and I was in my room, yeah, I was scared.
Okay, so
I remember that.
That same night, one of my friends, she calls me. She goes, oh my gosh, did something happen to your house? I'm like, yeah, why? And she's like, I think I know who it is because there's a dead rabbit that hit my window. That same...
Who'd grab
the
her
same
dead
baseball
rabbit?
Players,
up, man. These are children of the corn, like, growing up.
The same baseball players took a rabbit, and I'll tell you who it is after this. I don't want to name names on the podcast. Took a rabbit, killed it, and skinned it and threw it.
Skinned
threw it,
too.
Threw it out the window.
Is he in prison now for serial killing? Because that's usually how it starts.
No, right? He's actually an engineer that went to an Ivy League college who is now making pretty good money.
Bank.
Wow.
So do you feel like you missed out?
No, I think I was just really horrible. If you know me and you're watching this and you knew me in high school, I apologize.
Yeah, seriously.
That's not enough, Sydney. You need to go to them and apologize.
She is a way different person now.
Yeah,
it's crazy to think.
I mean, I was
like, I never thought that she could be a mother. Like, that's how crazy she was. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy how life changes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Such little time. Or it seems like little time, actually.
Yeah, but it's really not.
Yeah.
When you go to high school reunions, you see that, like, people, like, some, there's a few people that are exactly the same.
Yeah.
But I think the majority of them are, like, completely different, you know?
Yeah. I was not about to go to my high school reunion.
Yeah. I don't want to go there and get egged.
I didn't go to mine because I got picked on. So I was like, I'm not, I don't want to go hang out with these people. Plus, like, anybody that I cared about, I was already friends with on Facebook, so it didn't matter.
I don't
think
I knew
what they
were
doing.
I remember in high school.
Yeah, you're not old enough.
I know.
There were a couple, bullies. Like, I played football, and I was a smaller football player, the guys that would pick on me were either linemen or a tight end who was like 6 foot two, six foot three. And like these guys were huge. Like it got to the point where, because I knew how to defend myself verbally, like they would chase me like through school. Like I would literally like run through school, and I was just too fast for them, of course.
Were you a running back?
I was actually a wide receiver.
Oh, okay.
So you
wide receiver bully.
Good one.
What you would do in school, with where you're like mouthing off to them while they're chasing you, like that reminds me of a character that I created where he's this little kid and he's getting stuffed in his locker and he's still like hurling insults at the bullies that are like putting him in there. I just think that's like an awesome like.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't catch me.
No, it's just so funny that like you're getting, they're like they've got you and you're getting beat up or chased or whatever and you're still like hurling insults at them. It cracks me up.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny though too, because like you have like the whole concept of like imagine like knowing they say something, trying to like bully intimidate you, and like holding your tongue because you know like you're about to burn them hardcore, and then you can't help it because it's just so witty, and it just comes out. You're like, no. I guess you do that every time. Like, oh.
Yeah, so they're like stuffing you in the locker, and you're like, your mother wears combat boots.
Yeah, it was bad at my high school though. Like they were like. I think they call it, what, trash? Trash can?
Yeah.
Like, the freshmen, like, they would seriously get, like, any little person possible and just, like, stuff them in the trash cans and everything.
That's,
yeah.
That's so, like, yeah. That's so TV tropey, like.
Right? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I can see him get shoved in. This is not original. This should be.
We had, and when we were in high school, we had our rival high school come to our school and spray paint all of the lockers and just tag up the entire school.
Well, that's just straight up vandalism.
Yeah, well, we tipped a cow on their lawn. It wasn't me, personally.
But you guys go to school?
What? That never happened when I was... We went to the same high school. That never happened when I was...
We were...
The Academy of Satan or something like that.
And then, like, they got... I remember they got, like, a new field, and we carved our school initials in their brand new football field, like, tore up the turf.
Vandalism, dude. That's thousands and thousands of dollars.
Or mascots, just a murdered body, like...
And then I think this
Welcome
was
to
a,
the city.
Yeah, it's in the city. And then I think this was a senior prank, but they put like glue, like super glue, in all the locks of the classrooms, and nobody could open the classroom doors, so we couldn't have class. And the ones that they did get open, like they canceled.
Well, they did you a favor.
They did, but here's what happened: the school ended up canceling our like one of our dances, and so our entire school rioted, didn't go to class. Cops were everywhere, and there was someone in like the main, like the blacktop area, like standing on tables with like Bibles, like chanting, like "Give us back!" Like I don't like crazy stuff. People
were
breaking windows.
Did you go to school in a TV show?
It sounds like something out of a TV show. But yeah. They broke windows and everything. Like it was all over the news.
Okay, now we're getting into movie territory.
It was.
You can't really do
Dirty Dancing.
No, you can. You should look it up. I'll tell you my high school name and everything.
I'll laugh if you just recite the whole plot to Dirty Dancing. Like,
like I didn't
want to have the dance.
No, the first time I watched it was with you, remember? Yeah. So I can't recite lines because I've only seen it once, and that was a few nights ago. So.
Well, this is much more intense than Dirty Dancing because this is like those kids just were like, we want to do this, you know? And have smaller bugs. Yours is like straight up freaking like
rioting, yeah. And then like there people like rode motorcycles, like dirt bikes, through class, like through the halls during class. I think that was like another
stole TVs and
yeah. I think you've been watching too much TV because that sounds so much like just what would happen on a TV show.
That happened.
That's crazy. That's ridiculous.
I think my senior prank was really lame. I don't even remember it, but I know that they were talking about. Having dogs, like just letting go of dogs and
like mass amounts of dogs, like we're just gonna
in like the campus, and I was just like, yeah.
I wasn't was cool enough to even know that there was a senior prank happening.
Did you have senior ditch day?
I don't know.
I ditched that day.
You did?
Yeah, I did. That was the only time I ditched, guys. I don't ever ditch school.
I hung out with like the nerdy kids, and like we made movies and like. Played Dungeons and Dragons.
I had senior ditch day of the week. It was kind of a regular thing.
I will tell you this though, I missed. This is taking it back to bullying a little bit. Well, I guess we were just talking about bullying, but anyway. So I missed 29 days my seventh grade year of school, and it was because I was constantly getting bullied every single day. Mm-hmm. And my dad, since my mom was in the hospital, my dad had to go to work. Mm-hmm. before we would get up to go to school. So he would leave for work, and my alarm would go off, and I would wake up, and my dad would be gone, and I'm like, I'm going to stay in bed because I don't want to go to school. So I'd lay there in bed and then wake up several hours later, and I'd be like, oh, no, I missed the bus.
So, oh, there he goes.
I'm so sad.
I'd miss school, and then my dad would call the house. He always called the house every morning to make sure we had left. So he'd call the house, and I would answer the phone, and he's like, what are you still doing home? And I'm like, I missed the bus again. And he's like, do I need to quit my job and stay home to make sure you get on the school bus? And I'm like, no.
Call it bluff. Might have to.
Well, it happened so much that I failed seventh grade.
Damn.
Because I missed 29 days because I just didn't want to go to school.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's like, I mean, that's how bad it was. It was constant. Like, I was telling him before on one of the other podcasts that there were times when like I was sitting in a computer class, and people, it was like they didn't want to touch me. It was like a game for them to play to push people into me. So I was sitting at a computer class one time, and these two girls walked behind me, and one of them shoved the other one into me, and she put her hands on my back to stop, and then, you know, went away. And then I found out later that whole entire class that there was a sign on my back.
That is so mean.
Yeah, dude, it was real bad.
Dang, mean girls.
I didn't do that to people. I was mean to other mean girls.
Okay, yeah, that's like a balance. So that's like, keep each other distracted. So
that's more like
the poor little Robbie's gonna get away.
I don't know.
Well, there was one time I was walking between classes, and there one of the other kids in the class, he, like, we were walking past each other, and he stopped and he looked at me and he goes, "God, you're fat," and then just like kept on walking, and I was like, okay. But I've been getting it so much my whole entire life that it didn't faze me. I was just like, okay. I just like assumed that that's how people were.
That makes me angry. I want to go beat up some little kids right now. Well, they're men now.
Well,
so I
can
totally
it's
not that weird.
So here's a little bit of information about that guy.
Go ahead. Send me his,
no,
tag him right here.
No, you're going to feel real bad about that. He he died in a car accident.
The
car caught on fire.
Ooh.
I'm not saying anything.
But on the other side, he caused it because he had been drinking. So
That's even more sad, though.
I don't want to get too down on this. I don't know. Yeah. I might probably cut this out. But he was drinking, and he was with two other people, and they were driving, and they crashed into somebody on the back roads and killed them, and then their car caught on fire, and they couldn't get out.
Horrible. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
See, those back roads are really scary, though, because there's pitch black. You can't hardly see. Sometimes I have trouble driving at night in the back roads.
Well, you can't see anyway because you don't dip your contacts in coffee. So.
Right, I know. And I have astigmatism, so it's just like lines. I'm like, whoa, light show.
I have that too, but it's not super bad. I've always wondered if that was just me or if that's how everybody sees.
No, so well, like, once I saw that like comparison, I was like, that's me.
Well, I saw one today, and mine's not that bad. Mine is like, I see streaks in the lights, but there's not like a lot of them. Like, it'll go like from the light down, like part, like about a good portion of through my vision, but there's not like stars coming off everywhere.
Okay, so this is going to sound horrible, but, like, you know how people like driving in the snow at night because it's kind of like you're in space? Well, like, since I have astigmatism, it's kind of like not only are you in space, but you're, like, going at light speed.
Oh, you're in hyperspeed.
You're, like, in hyperspeed because it's like streaks.
Oh, like Space Mountain?
Yeah.
Oh.
I love that ride.
Yes, I love Space Mountain. But, yeah, that's what it looks like.
That's pretty cool.
I probably shouldn't be driving at night. You know what? I'm not going to drive. No, he's going to drive home. It's horrible.
Yeah,
I'm announcing all this.
I feel like I
can't drive
from now on.
After you reveal that.
Yeah.
Before you even mentioned the
stigmatism.
Yeah, that.
That word.
I always thought that like I just needed better like contacts. But now that you mentioned that, I was like, wow, it's not just me. It's like my
stigmatism contacts like specifically for that, but apparently I only have it in one eye, and I have them, I just don't feel like they work at night.
I don't think mine is too bad though, so
yeah,
I have good vision.
Thanks for that little tidbit.
Right? Yeah.
Everybody's like, my vision sucks. Mine sucks. Mine's good.
I'm like, okay. I'm like superhuman with my vision.
Oh, that's great.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I can't really hear.
What?
Whoa.
Like, I seriously, like, I need people to repeat it. Where it's like, it gets annoying.
Dude, you're like my long lost little clone brother. Okay, so I'm the same way. Horrible hearing, great vision. Okay, so we had discussed a couple, like yesterday or something like that. I don't know, my days ran together. But we're going to be beard brothers.
Yeah, you said that earlier, and I was like, I don't know what that means, because like, you don't really have a beard.
Yeah, right?
He was wanting to grow one out, but because...
I was lost, man.
Me and this guy's getting pretty close, you know? And, like, I was feeling for him, because he tried to grow his beard out, said it didn't grow out the way he wanted it to, so shaved it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to... Because I'm already growing my hair out for the locks of love thing. I'm going to give it to... That's why I'm growing it all crazy. And then, I was like, I can do the same thing with my beard. Grow it down real long, because you see my beard gets crazy, and then cut half of it off. And give it to donate it to him, and we can be beard
and
brothers.
And have beard extension. He would have a beard extension of different
colors. It'd just be like me, chicks do it.
How would it be like ombre? Yours is like brown.
Maybe like diet or something. I don't know. Hat,
that's all.
Here's my 10 cents for that. That's freaking gross.
And I would not accept that.
That's because you're not beard
brothers.
That's
my brother-in-law's
hair. Just
hair.
Wait.
Ew.
You're like, just wait till you see what it looks like.
Yeah, not only are we like sensory bros, but we could be beard bros. We'd be like...
Okay, you took that to a weird level.
Right.
That's all right. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to end this podcast on a high note because we have gone long enough talking about all the stuff, unless anybody's got anything else they want to say.
Nope.
I'll take that as a no. Okay. So you guys go check us out on all the stuff that I usually mention. If you don't know what it is, go watch one of the other podcasts and you'll see. Mm. Also, like this video, subscribe, all that kind of stuff that we people on YouTube have to say. If you're listening to this and you're not watching it on YouTube, why don't you head on over to YouTube and watch it, but watch it again and watch the whole thing. All right. So I think that's it. Don't bully people. Be a nice person and subscribe.
Amen.
Bye.
Did you say amen?
Here's Audrey's little monster. Like, almost like Jack Skellington.
It is like a monster.
Oh, you gotta get out of light, bro.